John Eric.
Media.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Wake up.
They are dismantling the sleeping middle class. More and more people are becoming poor. We are their cattle. We are being bred for slavery.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
This is the Deep Dive Podcast with Donnie Flamingo.
Hey, what is up with you good folks out there? Hey, your ears do not deceive you, all right? Yeah, I'm coming to you midweek, a deep dive, more of a flamingo flyby, if you will. It's just me in studio, folks. I'm just here by myself hanging out. I thought I'd come in and maybe drop some more information on you good folks with everything that's been transpiring these past few days. We don't have that much time, okay? I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time, folks, so let's just kick it off, all right? There's this post I saw just recently on my ex profile, and I'd like to kick it off with this, or write a little philosophy. Okay. This individual says, take a look at everything that is happening right now. And then remember the 12 day window for the RV. I don't know what is being interpreted as RV, but I'm thinking like a reveal, an exposure, something of that manner. Right. It goes on to say, I probably misinterpreted the timeline. It was September 30th through October 11th for this reveal, right? Then Brandon Biden would be removed on the 11th of October. We were also told that Biden would be removed for trying to start, or when he tries to start, a world war many years ago. And I can attest to this, folks. I mean, there's been a lot of information drops, if you will, that have kind of alluded to this. And strangely enough, today's the 10th, right? Before I was leaving the compound to come up here to talk to you fine folks, Biden was on the TV. He was on TV speaking about as far as Israel's support, and you know, they have our unprecedented backing and just all this other stuff. You know, we're going to promise him this, promise him that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if what is being said is true and he's not really the sitting president, then how the heck he's going to be able to do all this stuff and probably try to start another, possibly a world war, right? So I think this might be grounds for them to get him out of there, okay? But this post goes on to say, within that 12-day timeline, we have seen major events that are not typical news. The financial situation in the world is changing. The speaker situation, now the war. So many curious distractions and reveals. Is the RV and the kickoff to Nassar Jassar happening right now behind the scenes? This person thinks so, okay? Don't worry, you will be told when it's your turn. Is Israel saved for last because World War III is a big enough distraction from the changing financial situation in the world to get it done? Is impending doom a big enough reason to take out the fake president? This individual says, I am a mom. I've had years of training to look beyond the surface story and find the hidden truth. I think we're being presented with the mom story. It's time to go back over the cue post and put the pieces together. Wow, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot to say from this one particular person. But it had me thinking, okay, let's go back and look at some of the posts that were presented on these particular days, right, in the first week of October. And one in particular caught my eye, okay? It's post number 2337 on October 4th, 2018 at 4:27:07 p.m. And it says, Israeli intelligence stand down, media assets will be removed, Q. And I think, wow, okay, Israeli intelligence stand down, on October 4th. Okay, this incident that happened Friday or Saturday, I think was the 9th. So 5 days prior to this actual event taking place in the Holy Land, yeah, Israeli intelligence obviously was standing down because there was nobody on that wall guarding the border or guarding the assets that were being terminated. Okay, believe what you want. Yeah, I think maybe something did transpire over there. And like I've mentioned before, you know, the deep state and this evil cabal aren't afraid to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, folks. But what's even crazier of that of the situation is, well, why would they have a stand down? You know, why would there be a stand down if the type of technology that country has is equivalent to ours? Okay, here's a video of a former Israeli intelligence officer. Because I mean, if you're living in Israel, folks, I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I think you have to serve in the military, I think up to 2 to 3 years, okay? This particular individual served in the intelligence services, and she goes on to give some remarkable information.
Apparently, Israeli defense forces that were supposed to be around Gaza were placed around the West Bank because of security concerns, so that the Gaza envelope was left unoccupied with military. They say around 60 to 80% of that area was left without the IDF forces that were supposed to be there. A year ago, there was a military operation in Gaza to prepare for such events, and ongoingly, there are trainings for these kind of scenarios. This raises serious questions for me, anyway, about Israeli intelligence. What happened? 2 years ago, there was a successful deployment of underground barriers with sensors to alert exactly on these kind of terrorist breaches. Israel has one of the most advanced and high-tech armies. How come there was zero response to the border and fence breaching? I cannot understand that. Personally, I served in the IDF 25 years ago in the intelligence forces. There's no way, in my view, that Israel did not know of what's coming. A cat moving alongside the fence is triggering all forces. So this? What happened to the strongest army in the world? How come border crossings were wide open? Something is very wrong here. Something is very strange. There's a general sense of insecurity in Israel. There's political and social instability and unrest. Public funds are being misused on agendas such as COVID, climate, judicial reform, abolishing cash, and many more. The current government is highly corrupt, in my view, while the previous one was no better. I don't care about having a popular opinion. I care about exposing evil forces wherever and whomever they are. So to me, this surprise attack seems like a planned operation on all fronts. This is a failure to protect the people of Israel, for sure. Perhaps the biggest failure since the Yom Kippur War exactly 50 years ago, if not bigger.
So wow, a lot to say there. And just a little side note, I mean, take into consideration what happened a few Octobers, I think in 2018, 2017, there was a big massacre in Las Vegas, right? A quote-unquote harvest festival, a soul harvesting festival. And there was a crazy story behind that. You know, some guy named Padlock, you know, with a bump stock, just started firing randomly outside of a hotel window, killed hundreds of people, wounded many more. And we still haven't got the straight story of what happened there. But, you know, it's crazy that it happened in October. The same thing here in Israel. These folks allegedly were at some kind of party, some kind of rave, some kind of festival. And then all of a sudden, there you go. There's some kind of catastrophe or some kind of a ritual murder that happens. And it's these dates just keep popping up. I mean, they keep popping up. They keep popping up. There's no mistake that this date of October 7th, I guess, I mean, around that time, this is a powerful date for these people to conduct these kind of rituals or ceremonies or start some kind of a world revolutionary event or even a war. There's a clip or a posting that I have, like she was saying, 50 years ago. I mean, this is the biggest, I guess, type of an incursion or some kind of a military operation that's happened since 50 years ago, right? There's a clip from the Sunday News in New York, and it says, war erupts in the Mideast. Egypt, Syria, battle, Israel. Guess what date it is, folks? Sunday, October 7th, 1973. To the date. Okay, so I don't know if history repeats itself, but it sure as hell rhymes, in my opinion. How is this possible? Okay, let's get back to some of these Q posts, because there was another one in particular that I sent some friends that kind of blew their mind, okay? There was one that I sent out just a few days ago to my boy, Jake Sines. Shout out to my boy, Jake. There's a Q post on October 9th, I guess the day after it happened. On October 9th, 2018, there's a post, okay? But underneath this post, there's four booms. It goes boom, boom, boom. Coincidence, the news is focused on a resignation. Q. I have no idea what that means, but I do know what it means, because there was a resignation, folks. McCarthy, he just had to resign. They kicked him out of the House as House Speaker. And I guess nobody's really talking about that anymore, right? They're all talking about this war. This particular link on that post goes to an article, I guess, a Sarah publication, I guess. I don't know, an Israeli publication. It says, Iran gave Hamas terrorists final go-ahead. Israel launches complete siege on Gaza. It says on this particular article, which I wish I could find the date, it just gives a brief little news article that says, on Monday morning, the Israeli military launched a complete siege of Gaza. Quote, we're fighting barbarians and we'll respond accordingly. What the hell? You know, what the hell? Is this some kind of foreshadowing a few years ago, knowing that this was going to happen? I'm coming to you on a Tuesday, and yeah, Monday morning, yesterday, that's all you saw in the news was Israel's response. They have to respond accordingly, or else they'll show weakness of some sort. I don't know how this is happening, folks, but I kind of do know how it's happening, because, it's got to be another proof that, man, the military is in control in some way, some form, some fashion. But this leads me to, the creation of Hamas. From my understanding, I mean, this is all just more CIA, Mossad intelligence group, Israeli intelligence group, a bunch of people that are just working together for some kind of world event, some kind of distraction to draw us into again, right? Think about this, folks, okay? If I had to ask you today, ISIS, right? During Barack Obama's administration, that's all you heard. ISIS was doing this. ISIS was doing that. You saw these horrific videos of these men that were, they looked like giants, folks. If you go back and watch that footage, it looked kind of computer generated. It looked kind of AI generated in some way. And I guarantee you they had that freaking technology back then and much more. But that's besides the point. If you go back and think about these videos, these ISIS individuals were kidnapping people, beheading them on camera, and causing a stir, right? We had to go back and to the Middle East to find them or exterminate them or something. This is funny because I did not know this, all right? I'm going to play you this excerpt from this C-SPAN interview, and it's pretty much just says, the following excerpt is from a 1990 C-SPAN interview, describes how the Israeli Prime Minister's office officially refers to its subordinate organization, the Mossad, as the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. ISIS, folks, right? Like I said, this is from the 1990s. Definitely has 90s vibes to peep it.
You tell the story about how you tried to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with publicly?
I thought it was a reasonable question, but the trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, CIA, or in our case, the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words. As I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS.
Wake up. Pretty amazing stuff right there, folks, right? I bet none of y'all were aware of that, right? I bet you thought it was just some kind of crazy Muslim extremist group out there committing all these atrocities. No, it seems like all these people are definitely have the same puppeteer, or have the same master controlling these puppets, I think. One finger, each string for each of these intelligence services, I guess, you know. They're all just being played, you know, all puppets for the same purpose by the same master. They've been looking for an excuse to go to war with Iran for a long time. I have another video here that's from 2012, but it wasn't leaked until 2020. They're pretty much saying at point blank that what they need to do is start a war with Iran. And what has happened over the last few days is exactly the kind of things this guy describes. Okay, here's Patrick Clausen, the director of research at Washington Institute of Near East Policy, on how America goes to war.
Crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall we had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
I'd just leave that there. I mean, what else can be said? What else can be said? I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for some excuse to start this war, to go to war, and everybody's itching for it. Everybody's begging for it. Think about this, folks. What would happen, okay, if things escalated to the extent that you might have Israel bombing Mecca? I mean, think about the catastrophe. Think about the hellstorm that would create, okay? If things get so bad that, yeah, Israel somehow finds a way over there to go blow up that black cube in the desert that everybody does a hajj to and walks around. It represents the cube of Saturn. It's satanic to a certain extent. If I'm not mistaken, just like everything else that's in that area, I mean, it's all paganistic stuff, folks. I mean, none of this stuff. I don't think any side is right in any of this, but I'm just saying, for an example, what if that were to happen? The people of Israel, I guess, I mean, that it'd be all out war for them. And I feel for those people, folks. They're tied up just in all this nonsense like the rest of us are here in America. We have no say of what policy they're doing. We have no say of any kind of legislation they're passing. We think we do. We can vote. We can do this and that, you know, but it really doesn't matter. Okay, we're not rich enough. We're not wealthy enough. We're not prominent enough to be able to pull these strings of power that are being operated at the highest tiers of anything. But these poor folks in Israel, I mean, consider this. They're some of the most locked down, vaccinated group of people in the world, okay? They were some of the most harsh lockdowns and harsh vaccine mandates anywhere else. Them, Australia, a bunch of other places. But yeah, Israel got it bad, folks. So, I pray for those people. I hope everything goes well. I hope they can find a peaceful way out of the situation, but it doesn't look like that, okay? They're itching for war. And if anybody understands, I mean, all these wars, they're bankers' wars, folks. That's what it is. They're all bankers' wars. It's no surprise that Congress has been buying war stocks, and many bought the defense company General Dynamics. Numerous Republicans bought heavily into oil and energy companies, with buys into like a XOM, DVN, CVX. The Democrats bought into cybersecurity like FTNT. And all these companies, folks, lobby Congress heavily. Heavily lobby Congress. And yeah, it's no mistake. Yeah, now the U.S. defense talks are surging amid this Israeli-Gaza war. Boeing, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, like I said, Lockheed Martin. Oh man, it's good time again. You know, it's good times again for the deep state people that are stirring up this war, you know, and ready to cause havoc, you know, and it's a racket, like our boy Smedley Butler described in his book, War is a Racket. And he goes on to say, quote, "War is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives." And I don't think it could be said any better, folks, because he knew what he was talking about, folks. In this book, if you have a chance, man, go pick it up, give it a read. He pretty much just he admits that, yeah, he was being used for the military industrial complex to pretty much wage economic war and physical war on a bunch of other poor countries that couldn't defend themselves. You know, a bunch of people that were just, I mean, addicted to other people's money, addicted to, I don't know what else you would say it, man, just to greed, you know, pretty much used our best and brightest. And even today, you know, a lot of our soldiers get caught up in this. It's no mistake. You think you're going and fighting for a noble cause, but you're really fighting a banker's war. And I mean, there's no mistake why nobody wants to volunteer to be in the military anymore, because I think people have caught into this, but they've caught on to it. I want to read another small quote from that book, War is a Racket. And in the book, General Smedley Butler goes on to say, "I spent 33 years informant and active. I've spent 33 years informants active military service as a member of our country's most agile military force, the military corps. I served in all commissioned ranks from second lieutenant to major general. And during that period, I spent more of my time being a high-class muscle man for big businesses, for Wall Street, and for the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I suspected I was just part of a racket at that time. Now I'm sure of it. Like all members of the military profession, I never had an original thought until after I left the service. My mental faculties remained a suspended animation while I obeyed the orders of the higher-ups. This is typical with everyone in the military service. Thus, I helped make Mexico, and especially Tampico, safe for American oil interests. In 1914, I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. The record of racketeering is long. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of the Brown Brothers. In 1909 through 1912, I brought light to the Dominican Republic for American sugar interests. In 1916, in China, in 1927, I helped see to it that the Standard Oil wind its way unmolested. During those years, I had, as the boys in the back room would say, a swell racket. I was rewarded with honors, medals, promotions. Looking back on it, I feel I might have given Al Capone a few hints. I feel like I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was operate his racket in three general districts. I operated three continents." And wow, that's powerful, man. This guy, he was just giving up the ghost as far as what's been going on for a long time, folks. This book was written in the 50s, you know, and it's sad to say, yeah, that, I mean, nobody wants to serve in the military anymore, just simply for the fact that, yeah, people know that this isn't a noble cause and nobody wants to go and die for some kind of a banker war. But that leads us to the question, okay, who's going to serve in these militaries then, all right? Who's been, who's been flooding the border here, folks? And I've been telling people this for a while now and nobody believed me, okay? They need somebody to replace these bodies, these soul dyers in the military, because Americans aren't willing to do it anymore. So they said, hey, these people caught on to the little charade. Let's bribe these illegal people here. Maybe if they want to serve, they can serve their way to a green card. And a lot of people called me crazy. A lot of people said it was impossible, right? How this can't happen, right? There's no way. I'm sorry, folks. I think it's happening. And it's right in front of our eyes, all right? Take a listen.
Pretty simple trade-off. How about service for citizenship? The military says they want legal immigrants to address recruiting shortfalls. 14 just graduated Air Force basic training in April. Another 2,900 have enlisted in the Army. Recruiters are using social media to reach new candidates. For example, this Facebook page to recruit members to the Air Force from Nepal. At the same time, fewer natural-born Americans appear to be interested in enlisting. Military surveys show they are afraid of dying, worry about PTSD, and don't want to leave friends and family behind. Congressman Mark Alford is here, Republican from Missouri, member of the Armed Services Committee. Are we to believe that people who don't live in America are more interested in serving and protecting America than those who do? It's
Leland, here's a disturbing statistic. Only 9% of America's young people have any interest right now in joining the military. We missed our recruitment goal in the Army by 25%. The Marines were the only one who hit it. The Navy came very close. We've got to do something to get ready for this pacing threat from China. If we're going to take legal immigrants, not illegal aliens, but legal immigrants who have assimilated in our country, who know English, who know how to write it and speak it, and they have a passion to fight and possibly die for America, why not?
Okay, the question would be why not? The next question is why is it that it would appear that people who are not from America have a better feeling and are more interested in serving America than those who were born here?
Leland, we live in the greatest nation known to man. Unfortunately, the left has so demonized our founding fathers.
I think it's really about politics.
It is about politics. They have made it to where our young people have no interest in serving our country. I had to get on the House floor earlier this year and fight against socialism. The Democrats voted against this measure, which would denounce socialism. Those sorts of things are detrimental to our society. We've got to reinstill patriotism in America.
This is fascinating. The largest numbers are from Jamaica, followed by Mexico, the Philippines, Haiti, Nepal, Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. Why not? Is there a way to expand this program?
Well, hopefully so. Anyone who would like to come here legally, get their green card, like Raul Guerrera. I did a program with him in our district yesterday for Flag Day. He came here as an immigrant. He got his green card. The first thing he did after doing that was join the Marines. He served proudly. He became a great citizen, joined law enforcement in our area, has now retired, but a great American.
Why? Why? All right. Well, you know what? We're going to get his picture and put it on
screen
tomorrow.
Thank you.
Hey, Congressman, good to see you.
Take
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, who's going to do it? Who's going to step up to the plate and fill these shortfalls that all the militaries are experiencing right now in their recruiting goals? I think they're, I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility, folks. They could naturalize these citizens and then boom, there you go. You have a new military force. Or if the military is in control by the commander in chief, like we're thinking, maybe this is possibly a UN force, a foreign United Nation force that's here on American soil that we just haven't identified yet. But there's this other interesting post from this individual, Tony Segura, and it's kind of long, but let's see. It pretty much says, I'm a 38-year-old intelligence analyst. My clients include the United States government, British government, Israeli government, Saudi Arabia government, Microsoft, Dell Computers, GE, IBM, and so on. It says, intelligence is never perfect. It's a messy, messy business. Rarely can I guarantee the intelligence. Many times, just releasing it in the wild can stop a false flag or genuine attack. But with as close to 100% confidence as possible, there will be terrorist attacks in the U.S. The attacks will come in waves for the next 14 months. Hundreds of thousands of CCP saboteurs and at least a million terrorists already here from Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Qatar, Lebanon, Iran, Somalia, and so on. And they are very well funded. But in addition, the Biden administration with the UN has given them debit cards that are reloaded every month. And that's kind of frightening, folks, as there's pictures of these people coming in. And like I said, it's just military aged men. These guys have tattoos of AK-47s, Islamic fatwas, I guess, of promises of religious war on them. And these debit cards, man, that are, I guess, getting reloaded with $2,000 every month, folks. And we had spoke about this. You know, that's some kind of a universal basic income until they've served their purposes. And what's going to happen when that money runs out? That's a good question to ask yourself. When that money runs out, what are these individuals here illegally going to resort to? Who knows, folks? But it seems as if it's building up to a crescendo. Okay, this individual on X, DC Drano, says as Israel begins its counter-offense operations, there are likely going to be retaliatory attacks around the world by Hamas sympathizers in countries that support Israel. This means America will likely be hit, especially since Hamas operatives could have already crossed through our poor southern borders amidst the millions of illegal aliens. I hope you all stay more alert to your surroundings and always carry a gun wherever you go. Man, here in Texas, that's not a problem, okay? We're all packing some kind of heat. But at the end of the day, I mean, nobody wants the loss of life, man. This is just getting too real out there. It's getting really hot really fast, and summer's already over. But this guy goes on to say that he says, I posted this alarming ATF email 6 days ago showing criminal networks were planning to use straw purchasers to acquire heavy weaponry. Hamas attacked Israel in just 5 days. And just 5 days later, now America is on alert for attacks in the U.S. Does our federal government already know about Hamas plans? And the email says that the ATF is warning firearms dealers about intelligence showing criminal networks plan to buy 50 caliber and or belt-fed rifles in the next 2 months via straw purchasers. This is clearly due to the open border. I don't know really what it has to do with the open border, but this is getting kind of real, folks. It's getting kind of real. You can kind of see the writing on the wall. Is this what everybody has been feeling and sensing that's maybe right around the corner? Lucky us, you know, we live in Texas, like I was saying. It doesn't guarantee nothing here is safe or nothing here is, untouchable. Because, I mean, I think it all is, folks, and no matter where you stay, but especially if you're in a big city, I mean, yikes, that for sure, I would not want to be anywhere near a city, a big city right now, because yeah, you can almost guarantee that something's going to pop off over there, right? Let's see, where can we go next just to discuss a few more things before I get out of here? We were discussing the Khazari Mafia the other day, right? And my friend Ariel on X posted, he said, did you know Bibi Netanyahu is the operational head of the Khazari Mafia? Did you know he helped set the dual citizenship of traitors in our government who helped orchestrate 9/11? Did you also know he is behind the Hamas attacks on Israeli citizens? And he has this post on here that says, it's a quote from Benjamin Netanyahu in 1990 that says, America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off piece by piece until there is nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and control. This is what we do. This is what we do to countries we hate. We destroy them very slowly. And I've always wondered why this guy, he just hasn't gone away. I mean, he's just another one of these people, just like in Congress, that just stay in there, embed themselves, and you never see them go away. They're always just in there stirring up shit, causing some kind of trouble. And man, it makes me think of that Kanye interview a couple of months ago when he was on Alex Jones podcast, right? He was going off on BB, and it was just hilarious, man. I got a clip of it here. Check this out.
I was tired of picking up the Yahoo and the Netting. So for now, it's just Netting. I know some people call him BB. No, some of you call him Yahoo, but we're going to call him Netting. What you want, Netting? Hey, right after this, I'm going to say you're crazy. I'm going to take your family away from you. We're not done with you yet. You cannot cause free thought. We have to control the history books. We have to control the banks. And we have to go and kill people. Also, we're in the pedophilia. Ha, ha, ha.
So, and in a little while, hopefully you're going to take the mask off. Because is this actually yay here?
That's me. Go back and check that video out, folks. That's pretty much that was me on the JP Lopez show when I was I debuted my YouTube show or on the JP Lopez show. That's when I debuted on YouTube. But yeah, I think he was right. You know, he might be a controlled opposition, but is he wrong? I mean, looking back and listening to everything he said, and then looking at today's events, wow. I mean, people are just out here in the open discussing it. Okay, here's a retired Australian SASR Lieutenant Colonel Ricardo Bossi. He's discussing how Russia, with the White Hat military alliance, is fighting a subterranean extermination war against the Ashkenazi Khazarian mafia bloodlines in Ukraine, the homeland. Peep it.
Leading a march. You've left the Russian consulate. Tell us, why are you leading this march? What are you here for?
Well, a few reasons. The Russians are fighting the Khazarian mafia in their homeland. They're cutting the head off the snake of the group that has been destroying this planet for generations.
What does that have to do with Australia today, here and now?
Because they control this country like they control everywhere else, and the Russians, along with many other nations and many other militaries, are actually fighting a subterranean war to exterminate vermin from the planet.
How does that relate to the anti-mandate message that so many are speaking about today?
Because the mandates in COVID are just one part of a larger scheme to depopulate the planet. We have been robbed, we have been raped, we have been killed for generations. And the mandate, directed by the government and enforced by the police and provided for by the big pharma, have been exterminating the people.
It's all part of the same plan, folks. And it seems like the same individuals, year after year, century after century, time after time, they're all in position to control and fund both sides, because that's what's happening. And there is no good and bad, good versus evil in this type of scenario. It's just who's getting paid, you know, who's profiting after off of all this death and destruction. Just like every war in time. I mean, every war that you can think of, folks, pretty much has been a banker's war. If you take it back to the Revolutionary War, half the people wanted that war, the other half didn't. You know, the half that didn't were the people that unfortunately went and fought and died for that fiasco, okay? But there was some kind of a currency war, some kind of a currency law that was put into place, from my understanding, in that war. And I'm trying to think, the Currency Act, okay? There's some kind of Currency Act that happened that kicked off the Revolutionary War, and it was pretty much the British government not wanting to let the United States control and print their own money. You know, the Royal Crown wanted to be able to charge high interest and all this other crap, right? So that's pretty much what led to the Revolutionary War. The War of 1812, another banker war, it was trying to take hold of Americans through the money and banking system. Once again, they wanted to control our currency, folks, okay? And we went to war over that. And the Civil War pretty much was instigated by, you know, monarchy agents out of Europe. Lincoln needed money to fight the war against the South, but the 13 bloodline families that controlled Europe wanted 36% interest. And there you go, 36, 3 6 is right. Lincoln didn't want to accept the offer, so he refused it, right? Instead, he used presidential power to print greenbacks, 0% interest money that the people didn't have to pay, right? Because it was interest-free money backed by gold and silver. The foreign banks hated that, okay? They hated it. They wanted revenge. They needed revenge. And somehow they came up with some kind of plan saying, well, if America doesn't capitulate to this type of federal banking system, then they're going to be in a war pretty much every other century, and it's not going to stop. We're going to just bring them to their knees in war, and we're going to fund both sides, and we'll get our money back that way. And sure enough, that's what they've been doing all this time, folks. It's not a mistake, okay? This war is no different. They're itching for some kind of conflict, and at the end, hopefully we won't be stuck in the middle. Hopefully there'll be some kind of a way out or some kind of a reveal, folks. But, you know, that's my time here. I don't want to leave you with all doom and gloom. I do want to leave you with a little bit of hope out there, a little bit of something to brighten your day up after all this chaotic week and chaotic month that we've had. But this is from an individual by the name of JFK Jr. Fan on X, and it says, okay, all of this to say, do not be frightened. Many of us have been looking forward to this moment for our entire lives. I can hardly contain my excitement. It is about to get very real, very fast, and we are as prepared as we can be. If we lose any of our patriots to panic, then all of my effort here would have been for naught. We're going to remain calm. We're going to show love and support to our neighbors and the normies. Things will be challenging enough for them without us saying we told you so. Comfort and guide. This is the next phase of the operation. Have a beautiful day, Truth Seeker. And I think that's beautiful, folks, and that's where I'm going to leave it. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time, but maybe I'll be doing this more often here, you know, in the future, folks. Just come in, kick it for a few minutes, and get in and get out, folks. But I'm going to sign out. This is me, once again, Donny Flamingo. Believe nothing that you hear, and you know the rest, folks. Until next time, catch you on the other side. Come and make your mind.